guide them and use them in the road ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. We love you. We love you. Thank you. Well, if you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to open it to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, we're beginning a new series, and this series is kind of a sporadic series. There won't be 3 or 6 or 15 in a row. It's going to be here and there. We'll go into the series that I'm calling Encounters with Jesus. And I've been thinking about this one a long time, and so I'm excited about beginning with this first one about the city of Nain and something that happened there in Luke chapter 7. We're going to start reading in verse 11. Before we jump into that, though, I have another thank you to give, and that is to my bride of 17 years yesterday. 17. So she's a brave woman. Whenever we were getting married on our wedding day, I wrote a song because it related to the heart that we both have. And I said, will you walk this road with me? And it was just about how the journeys and where we're going to go. Whenever I first met her, they told me, don't even think about hanging out with Laura Jean, was her maiden name, unless you're planning to live overseas. And I said, we'll see about that. And here we are, living overseas. So I am so thankful that God put us together. I'm thankful for the path that we've been on, the path we're on now, and what He has ahead. So thank you very much. I hope that who else has an anniversary in June? Raise your hand. There's one. That's it. Oh, there's some up the top. Okay. All right. Usually people get married in June, but maybe that's just a weird American or South U.S. thing. Okay. Never mind. Moving right along. Love each other. Oh, the Southern Hemisphere. Yeah, different time. Okay. Well, hey, Luke chapter 7, I hope you're there and ready for us to jump into this new concept, Encounters with Jesus. Okay, so we're going to jump right in, Luke 7, verse 11. Here we go. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. All right, so some context. What's happening? Who is he? Well, it's Jesus, all right? We're talking about Jesus, and he goes to this town called Nain. So here we are. We have this big crowd now going with him, and they're going down the road, and they're excited, actually. There's a crowd of people who's like, yeah, Jesus is great. Why? Well, we're still at the beginning, really, of his ministry. At this point, he's put together his 12 disciples. So the team is assembled. And he's been doing some miracles here and there, right? So people are being healed. All these cool things are happening. And so the crowd is like, hey, this guy, Jesus, he's great. And so they're going down the road this day. It says they're on their way to the city of Nain, and they have this idea of Jesus, Jesus. They're excited about being with Jesus. Okay, so that's how we're starting out with this story in verse 11. Let's look at verse 12. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. So we have the crowd that's with Jesus, right? There's a big crowd, they're excited. Jesus is great. Jesus, Jesus. But there's another crowd. And this crowd is not excited. This crowd is actually a funeral crowd. These guys are having a very somber, very difficult day, actually. And so it says, why? Well, this one who has died was the only son of his mother, who's a widow. And so this is a big deal. This is trouble for her. This is trouble. Why? Well, after all, you know, it's Israel, right? And Israel's part of the continent of Asia. And in Asia, what do kids do? They take care of parents. Whenever we were living in China, we got to meet, you know, different students. And we were talking to them about their lives and what was happening and what their plans were. And we just kept hearing and sensing the pressure to take care of your parents one day. Whenever you're out and you're working, you're not just taking care of your family, you're taking care of your parents. And in some cases, your grandparents even. So there's so much pressure to take care of your family. And so that's what's happened here. This son was supposed to be taking care of his mother, but he's now passed away. And the woman's husband has also passed away. So this woman, she's stuck. She is in big trouble. And we don't know how he passed away. Scripture doesn't say what happened, if he was murdered, if he was sick, if he was a war hero. We don't know. But this guy, he's dead. And so there's this crowd now around her. And the good news is there's some support. It says a considerable crowd is surrounding her and going with her on the way. But this is a very somber crowd. A very somber crowd. So what's happening? Well, you have the crowd that's with Jesus, right? Jesus, Jesus. They're excited. Then you have these other people coming out, and they're not excited. They're sad. And so these two crowds are going to come together. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen when the happy crowd and the sad crowd meet? You know, in the U.S. and down in the South where I grew up, and I don't know what the customs are for funerals around the world, and I'm looking forward to learning more about the customs. But one thing that we do in the U.S., in the South at least, is whenever someone's on the way from the funeral service to the cemetery where the body will be placed, usually they get in a line of cars and they turn on the headlights. You can see this line on the left side here. That's the funeral caravan, right? And so they're on their way to go to the cemetery to bury this one who's passed away. But if you meet someone or you meet one of these caravans, the tradition, the custom is you don't just drive on like nothing's happened. You pull over to the side of the road, and out of respect, you just stop and you wait until it passes by. So that's what you see happening on the right side. You see people pulling off to the side and stopping just to pay respects. That these people are in a difficult situation, and we want to just say we see that and we support you by just stopping and pausing about our busy moments. And you know, man, all of us are busy, right? Go, go, go. So to stop, and I've been there before. I need to get somewhere. Oh, there's a funeral. I'll stop, right? And you get there and that's your excuse. Well, I'm at a funeral. And everybody understands. Oh, okay. Well, then you had to stop, right? But what's going to happen here when the crowd that's with Jesus meets the crowd with these people who are going to a funeral? What's going to happen? Well, let's see. So we look at verse 13, and we see, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her." When he saw her, he had compassion on her. And so Jesus, whenever his group meets up with this other group, he instantly zeroes in on the mom, the widow who's lost her only son and her husband's gone. He zeroes in, he sees her, and right away it says he sees her and he has compassion for her. And so there's this brokenness in Jesus for this woman. And he sees her right away. And I love that about Jesus. He always gets right to the heart of the matter. And so he sees her. But then look what happens next. He says to her, "Do not weep." In another translation, it says, "Don't cry." So if Jesus says to her, "Don't cry," what does that mean? That means she's crying already, right? He sees her, he notices her, he has compassion for her, and she's crying. She's crying, right? And it's not a surprise that she's crying. About a year ago, my grandmother on my mom's side passed away. And so we went to her funeral, and then we went to the cemetery and so on. And so my mom obviously was very sad. Now, my grandmother was 90 when she passed away, so she lived a long life. And she had Alzheimer's for like 10 or 12 years, a long time. And then she had cancer come up in the middle of that. And so we were actually thankful that she finally finished this difficult journey she was on. And so for her to pass away was a relief, we know, to everybody, because the pain was over, right? For her and for the family as well that's been thinking any day now, right? And so my mom has been watching this decline over years of her mother, and then she passes away. And so there's a sadness. There's a closure, obviously. But there's also a sadness. And so we had the ceremony, and we were able just to talk about her life. And my grandmother was just an amazing woman, actually. You know, it's nice to be able to go to a funeral, and nobody has to worry about, oh, don't talk about that one thing, or who's going to be there. There's no scandals. There's no skeletons in the closet that we know of, right? Maybe if they were, they're still in there, right? But we just don't know of anything. And so we're able to talk about her life and say, wow, what an amazing woman. She loved God. She loved people. She served well. She was classy. Just a great woman. And so we had that. We celebrated her life. And then we went out to the cemetery. And we had a little prayer time and remembering of her there. But then it came time to take the box, to take the coffin to the hole in the ground and put her in. It came time. And my mom had been doing well up to this point. But whenever it came time to roll the coffin to the hole in the ground, something snapped. And she just started crying. She just started weeping uncontrollably. And so my aunt went to go and try to help her. But there was just something that happened to her when it came time to see mom go in the hole in the ground. And you know about this, most likely, because we've been to funerals. We've been to those holes in the ground, and we've seen that. But here's the tough thing about what we see in this story. It's one thing for my mom, in her 70s, to bury her mother, who's in her 90s. We know that death is coming. And so for our parents, we understand, most likely, we will be around when it's time for them to be buried. We understand that. It still hurts. But that's one thing. It's a totally different thing to lose your spouse. This is your partner in life. This is the one that you're spending every day with. So when you lose that spouse, oh, wow. And this woman that Jesus is meeting with lost her spouse. So she's had that kind of pain. Probably lost her parents, right? But it's a whole different thing to lose your child, which is what's happening here. And to have to go to the hole in the ground for your child. There's a saying, no one should have to bury their child. And unless you've done that, you don't know how it feels. Right? It hurts. And that's what's happening with this lady. She's going to the hole in the ground with her son, her last hope, actually. That's what's happening with this lady. And so what do you say to somebody in this situation? What can you say in that moment? Well, here's what Jesus said. Jesus goes to her and he says, don't cry. Really, Jesus? Jesus, hang on a second. Let's go to some like sensitivity training for a second, right? She's going to bury her son and she's crying, of course, and you're going to say, don't cry? People around him are like, Jesus, ooh, right? Don't say that. Oops. Don't cry. How can Jesus say this to her? How can he say that? Well, here's the great news. Jesus knows something that we don't know in this story. So he can say things we don't understand because he knows something we don't know. Hold on to that. We'll come back to that in a little while. So what happens? In verse 14 now. So he tells her, don't cry. Verse 14, then he came up to and touched the bier, or the little stretcher that they're carrying the body on, and the bearers stood still. Just a quick note. Up until this point, the guys carrying the body had just kept on going, right? Yes, we're meeting another crowd. Yes, this one guy goes and talks to the lady and tells her not to cry, but we got to keep on moving. Life goes on. We got to get this guy on the ground, otherwise disease will spread. You know, we got to keep going. And so even though Jesus was there, they kept moving. But finally, Jesus comes up to and touches the stretcher. And now they stop. Now they stop. He comes up to there and he stops. And they stop. And they stood still and says, he says, young man, I say to you, arise. Whoa. Now, I've been to a lot of funerals, okay? And I've seen preachers really do some amazing things and share some great words at funerals. But I have never had a preacher at a funeral turn around to the body and say, go ahead and get up. Come on, let's go. Let's cancel this thing. You get up out of there. Let's go. That's what Jesus is doing. Again, if you thought it was bad for him to tell the woman not to cry, to speak this kind of thing over the dead body. Jesus, what are you doing? You see, here's the thing. None of these people, none of the people in the Jesus crowd, none of the people in the funeral crowd have ever seen this before. This is the first time that Jesus raises someone from the dead. We know he does it with a little girl, Talitha Kumi, little girl, I say to you, arise. We know he tells Lazarus, come forth. But those are later. No one's seen this before. And so Jesus goes to this guy and he says, young man, arise. Wow, that's a gutsy move. Verse 15, what happens? And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Okay, can we just clap our hands together for Jesus raising the dead to life again? Whoa! I love this picture because, I mean, there's so many things going on in the picture, but the thing that stands out is the mummy that's sitting up and looking around. I mean, that's crazy, and that's what happened this day when they encountered Jesus. Young man, I say to you, arise. And the guy sits up and he begins to speak. Unbelievable. What kind of reactions must people around have had to this? Okay? So at the bottom of the picture, you can kind of see some people with some instruments, right? They're playing their little musical instruments. So on their way to the hole in the ground, to the funeral, what kind of songs do you think they were playing? Happy songs, sad songs? Who knows? But my thought is a funeral. They're probably playing some serious, okay, we're sad songs. But now the guy's alive. Now what do they have to do? We got to get some new music out here, right? We got to play happy songs now, all right? Change the tone a little bit. I mean, what are the people around doing, right? They're sad, they're tears, and all of a sudden, he's alive? What? I mean, can you imagine that moment? So one thing that's kind of fun, actually, is to be around brand new Christians, right? Because brand new Christians, they're still figuring out, okay, what's normal and what's not normal for people who follow Jesus. And so sometimes, you know, God hasn't sanctified their mouth yet, right? And so sometimes, like, people will be reading a scripture, and they'll be like, oh, this verse is really good. And so they'll be reading, and they'll say, oh, blank, that's cool. Right? They'll cuss about how cool scripture is, you know? And it's like, oh, well, I hear what you're saying. That's pretty impressive, right? They're like, oh, okay, you're excited. I think some people, whenever he sat up that, they were like, oh, blank. What did Jesus just do, right? Oh, wow, a dead person's alive because Jesus was here. I mean, I'm telling you, these people were shocked. How do we know that? Well, look at what it says here in verse 16. No, the end of 15. No, 16. Fear seized them all. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God. Wow, what happened here? What else happens? Well, he takes this son, who's now alive again, and he gives him to his mother. He gives him to his mother, and now we know why he said, don't cry. You see, what seemed rude a minute ago is now profound. And this woman who went from the deepest, darkest sorrow is now at the highest mountaintop, ecstasy. I cannot believe this just happened. I got my son back. Wow. And so this moment happens, and Jesus comes in. And here's what you can count on. Whenever Jesus tells you something, you can know it's true. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. If Jesus says something to you, embrace it. Even if you're in the middle of crying and what he says doesn't make sense, you can still count on what he's saying to you. Because he knows something that you don't know. And he sees the road ahead. And you can trust him. And so this woman is now excited, and she now understands why he said this. And so verse 16 and 17, fear falls on everybody. They're saying, whoa, what just happened? And then they glorify God. Okay, this fear turns into praise. And then they say, a great prophet has arisen among us. God has visited his people. And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. And so you have, first of all, fear. Whoa, what just happened? Glory to God. Okay, this is not normal. This doesn't happen every day. God is doing something special. There's an awareness that Jesus is something special. This is the normal routine. We're afraid. We see, wow, God, look what you did. Jesus is the one who makes things special. And then there's the spreading of the good news. They just tell everybody, did you hear what happened yesterday? Can you believe what I saw? And people are talking about Jesus and how great he is. And that needs to be happening with us as well. But as I look at this story, I have to wonder, for you today, where are you in this story? Where are you? Are you with the crowd that's with Jesus and things are great? Man, you're excited about what God is doing in your life. You're seeing him move and you're just like, Jesus, Jesus, yeah. Maybe that's you today. Or maybe you're in the crowd over here and you know some difficult things that have happened. And so you're walking through that and you're in a somber place because there's something that has been taken or lost. Maybe you are the widow today. Maybe you are the one who has lost something and you are without hope. And even though you sit here today and you seem to be okay, on the inside you are shattered. And I've learned over the years that just because a person seems to be okay doesn't mean they are. Right? You know, we walk into the room. How are you? Good. How are you? I'm great. Okay, cool. And we're not. And so maybe today you're sitting here and you're the widow. Your life is just without hope at the moment. And you're thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. Maybe you're one of the pallbearers, we call the guys in the States at least, the guys that carry the body. Maybe you're a pallbearer. Maybe you're one of the guys who's, you're in the thick of it. And people are going through difficult things and you're right there with them. And it's hard. Maybe that's you today. Or maybe you are Jesus. Maybe you are Jesus from this story. You are the one that God has said, I want you to speak life into a situation of death. Maybe you're Jesus in the story. God has positioned you. He's given you the power to be the one that comes in and brings great news, brings the power of God into a situation. Maybe that's you today. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus is talking about his followers, and he says, greater things will you do than this, because I go to the Father, and the Spirit is coming. He's saying, you're going to have miracles that you get to be a part of. So maybe that's you today. You are one of those who's going to be the Jesus into the situation. Or maybe today, you're sitting here, and your arms are crossed, and you don't feel anything. Like, okay, I'm not any of those people. You don't see yourself anywhere in this story at all. I'm not in there. Well, there's one more character that you might be. The dead guy. You might be the dead guy. I'm sorry to break it to you. But here's what happens. The dead guy in the story, did he hear any of the conversations that were going on around him? No. His mom is crying uncontrollably. How does he feel about that? He's oblivious. And maybe people around you are hurting. Maybe people around you are going through difficult times because of your situation. And you're like, I'm good. I don't feel anything. Maybe you're in a different world. Maybe you're the dead guy this morning. And maybe you won't remember anything that I say, but here's what happened with the guy in the story. The guy in the story, the first words he heard after he passed away were, young man, I say to you, arise. The first words he heard were the words of Jesus calling him to life. And so maybe today, you won't remember anything I say, but maybe Jesus will speak to you today and say, I have life for you. He'll say, I have something new. And you'll hear this and you'll think, oh, there's something else going on. Maybe you'll be able to receive that life. And so the dead that's in you, this sin maybe, that has crippled you, that has you destined for eternity separated from God in hell. He says, look, I want to give you life instead. My blood has paid the price for that. My resurrection has guaranteed life forever for you. And so maybe that's you today, that God has life for you where you have been dead. Which one are you? Which one are you? You see, there were two crowds that met that one day. There's a crowd that's excited to be with Jesus. There's a crowd that's sad. And Jesus spoke life to what was dead. And there was one crowd. One big crowd of people excited to be with Jesus. What a cool story. Look what Jesus does. How do we do that today? How do we have that kind of situation, that kind of miracle? How do we have this happening today? Is it still possible, do you think? Do you think? I see some nods. I'm not convinced. I believe it is possible. How do we participate? How do we see this happen? These crowds meet, but there's something that happens with the two crowds, and I want to introduce this concept for us. It's this one right here. The tangible presence of Jesus in our city. What does that look like? What does it look like? The tangible presence of Jesus in our city. What does that look like? That looks like you and me, actually. Another name for the church is what? The body of Christ. The body of Christ. That's who we are. It's what we've been called to. It's what we've been gifted for. We are the tangible presence of Jesus in our city. And so here's the question. If Jesus moved to Discovery Bay and he bought one of those new flats in Puggy Bunzi or whatever that place is, right? If Jesus moved to Discovery Bay, what would be different? What would happen? What would happen? You tell me right now. I want to hear. What would happen? Lives would be changed. Let me give you a clue. What did he do in the Gospels? Okay, so lives would be changed. What else? Healed. People would be healed. You've done two. You can't do any more. All right, anybody else? What else? Do you remember this guy, Jesus? Have you heard any stories? What else? Unity. Disciples. Revival. People will be excited about God in a different way. What else? The good news would spread. I can't tell where it's coming from. Sam. One more time. A revolutionary moment. Yes. Here's what's going to happen. Life from Jesus spreads, right? Healing happens. People that are dead come back to life. Now that would make the news, I think, right? People who are demon-possessed would have that resolved. People who are trapped in sin would be set free. The chains would be broken. All these things would be happening if Jesus moved to Discovery Bay. But I have news for you. He's here. We are the tangible presence of Jesus in Discovery Bay. So we should see these things happening. We can see these things happening as we walk in the Spirit, as we walk in obedience to what He is doing. Wow. Do we want to see that? Yes. So each of us, each one of us, man, walk with Him, listen to Him, obey as the Spirit leads you, because the city needs Jesus. They need an encounter with Him. So here's what we want to do this morning. We want to pray for you. So I've asked the elders if they wouldn't mind to be available after the service over here on your right down here. After the service, if you would allow, we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you because you're walking through things and let's lift it to the Lord. You know, we don't have the power, but He does. And so prayer is the opportunity. And so maybe today you're the one who feels like God wants you to speak life into someone's situation. And you're a little bit worried about that. Let us pray for you today. Come down and say, I'm not sure, but can you pray for me to have wisdom of how I can speak life? Maybe you're the widow. Maybe you're shattered. Your hope is lost. And you say, can you please pray for me? I'm not going to tell you the details, but I need hope and I need God's help. Maybe you are tired because you've been supporting somebody who's hurting. You've been trying to carry it and you're tired. So you just come and pray. Let someone pray for you. Maybe you are dead. And the Spirit is speaking to you and saying, hey, it's time to wake up. Let us pray for you. And so I just want to invite you, after the service is over, we're going to have people down here to pray for you. Maybe you have a praise. Maybe God has moved in an amazing way, and you want to say, hey, look, I just want to give thanks to God. Please, let us pray with you about that. Here's the great thing. When Jesus is around, things happen. Good things happen. That's what will be when you have an encounter with Jesus. So let's be Jesus to our city. Let's let them have an encounter with the one that's changed us. We are the vehicle where they can know him. So let's follow him. Let's follow him. If you're dead, let's come to life. If you're sad, let him speak into your brokenness. If you're happy, let him give you even more. Will you close your eyes and bow your heads as we move forward here? Father, I thank you for Jesus, this incredible God in the flesh that you sent. You didn't have to. You could have left us on our own. But you love us and sent Jesus. Father, thank you. Jesus, we thank you for coming, for walking our path, and for feeling our pain, and for taking our penalty. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence that's inside your children now. Give us wisdom. Give us power to be the presence of Jesus in our community. Lord, I pray for those, especially this morning, who are just shattered. Jesus, will you be healing in their heart and in their lives? Will you give hope? I pray for those who are excited that you will double